I've now realised that I lied when I said this. It was going to be part two of a two-part series last time because I went on a bit longer than I thought. So if you're still awake, this is part three of a three-part series about the conducting job that I have and life that I have. I'm going to propose to Michael that perhaps after this I can do something a bit different that's a bit more music-based, as in playing bits of music to you that you may or may not know already. But I'll finish off this little task by answering the last few questions that I was set. And the first of those is, what do I wish I'd known when I played in orchestras that being a conductor has taught me? I'm going to just narrow it down to two things. One is that I wish I'd always had a full score in rehearsals when it was possible to have one, because I think I'd have got a lot more out of the many times I was sat at the back counting bars rest, or indeed involved in the rehearsal of a tacit movement for the trombone. A good colleague of mine, once I'd left playing, said, "I bet I know what you miss about playing the trombone, Tom, these days." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Tacit." And it was very true. But on a slightly more serious point, I think I wish someone had taught me how to listen to a rehearsal, because quite often, as players, I think a lot of us would admit this, if we're not being spoken to, or if the section of the music that's being rehearsed does not involve us directly, we just switch off, talk to colleagues, read the paper, whatever amusements we've got. Oh God, now it's smartphones, isn't it? And it's such a shame, because all too often something that's being dealt with by the others is going to have relevance to you, the individual, or your section. So I wish I'd learnt to listen to rehearsals in that way. Penultimate question. What would be my dream concert / orchestra to conduct? God, this is tough, because we're getting into sort of Desert Island Disc territory now. If I could only do one programme. I think the type of orchestra I'd like to work with the most would be one where some form of period instruments were being played. I've always felt this is no way to try and recreate something of the past, because I think that's an impossible mission. But I do find that so often I'm conducting music that was written in the 18th and 19th centuries, we all do, and the instruments that we've got on our hands now tend to create some issues, particularly with balance. And also, I would be fascinated to do something where the orchestra was experimenting a bit more with the temperament. So how you do chords is that's a terrible way of explaining it, but where you place the thirds and the fifths and the sevenths. There is one orchestra I know of in Russia it was a Russian conductor, but it's based in Vienna, that's been playing around with this idea as well. But I think that we've lost a little something in the colour of music through the evil of equal temperament. I could do a whole podcast about that, but I won't. It would be some kind of period style instrument ensemble. But what would we be playing? Well, it's tricky, but I don't think I can not say Sibelius, because his music's meant so much to me over a long period. And conveniently, I don't think there's been much, if any, work done by the aforementioned historically informed ensembles on his music. And I see problems all the time when I'm conducting his works, where he's got some really fantastic colours, but written down very low clarinets or low flutes or something like that. And it's really hard to hear with the instruments of our times, with the the metal string instruments. I've just realised this could all sound incredibly dry. I don't mean it to, but I think we could do some, you know, create something really exciting by using those instruments. For example, brass players. One of the reasons, you know, and brass players are told to shut up all the time is that the bore size of the instruments has got bigger and bigger. I did a project once when I played on a narrow bore trombone from about 1901, I think it was made, and we were playing as loud as we liked, never got told to shut up once, and it was such an exciting sound, and it was such an exciting way to make music because there was no restriction through that instrument. So yeah, some kind of period instrument, Sibelius Fest would be. So very last question. I'm pleased to say this is a slightly shorter episode than episode two. But the final question I've got here is any advice to anyone who'd like to try conducting for themselves? I would say, number one, do. And number two, if you ever do it, don't expect it to be any good at it at all at first, but don't be surprised if you really are. I think that there's a bit too much is made about the gestural side of conducting. I certainly remember during my playing days that, you know, the definition of a good or bad conductor was were they clear or not. Now, clarity of beat and all the rest of it is, of course, vitally important. But I can also say that some of the least conventional conductors in terms of baton technique were the best ones that I ever were with, for certain. So I don't think those things necessarily go together. I don't think conducting is something that you can, frankly, practice or easily practice at home. It's something that only really exists when you're doing it for real with real people. So the, you know, the ability to practice being a conductor or train to be a conductor is incredibly tough, and it's no coincidence in my view that some of the most successful conductors of the last 30-40 years were students in St. Petersburg under the legendary teacher Musin. And one of the reasons why I think it was such a good course was that they actually had an orchestra to themselves that they could use every afternoon, and most conducting courses that certainly isn't the case. So I would say go for it, and don't be at all afraid of the reactions of your fellow musicians, because when you stand the other side of a group of musicians, facial expressions are really amazing, and quite often it's difficult to read. Am I looking at a sea of absolute astonishment at brilliance, or is it horror, or is it complete boredom? And it's quite often difficult to read the difference between any of those three. But usually people are just interested in what you have to say, and I think usually people want you to succeed and to do well, and they just would like to know what you think about the piece of music. So do it, and do it with confidence. But the last thing I would say to any aspiring conductor is sing and breathe. And usually conductors who breathe are better, easier to follow, and conductors who can sing, when I say sing, I mean vocalize something to the musicians, so much easier if you can just do it with your voice than try to describe it in 30 words or more. So yeah, and there we go. Hopefully that's been of some interest, and of course hopefully everyone listening to this is safe and well. Speak to you soon. Bye.